of the Long Island Tea Podcast.
I can't believe it.
3 years strong.
3 years strong.
We start every episode with saying, how you doing?
How you doing?
How you doing?
How you doing?
We're at the Gurney's Seawater Spa. We're at the incredible Ohiki Castle.
We are on the beautiful Shelter Island.
At the Selfie Clubhouse. I mean, when do you get the chance to have Adventureland yourself?
Right. Taste of Long Island. We have Besito.
Hi, neighbors. How are you?
Woo! All right. Welcome back to the Long Island Tea, where we spill the tea on living your best Long Island life. I'm Kristen.
And I'm Sharon. Welcome back.
Yes. And we have a very special guest with us today. If you're watching on YouTube, to my left is my good friend, Ted Sullivan from Zartico. Welcome, Ted.
Welcome, Ted.
Thank you very much for having me. I'm looking forward to this. I've been looking forward to this for some time. This is great.
And just to make it even more exciting, we are recording from Gurney's, which is, you know, Sharon's favorite place.
My favorite.
and you know, also a special place in my heart because where I got married several, it's almost 3 years to the day, actually.
I know. I was thinking about that
I got to plan an anniversary getaway or weekend. We got to come back.
It's gorgeous.
So, we're here at Gurney's, one of our favorite places on Long Island in Montauk. And Ashley, the PR guru, has set us up with the most, we're in one of the cottages. And I've never been in one of the cottages.
I know. I was talking to you earlier. I felt like it was part of the timeshare experience.
Oh, yeah.
Because I've been in one of those, and it's very similar. But I just love this view. Incredible.
Amazing ocean waves behind us. Incredible. So I don't even know if I should ask you, but, you know, we start each podcast episode with saying, how you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. How you doing?
I'm doing wonderful. How you doing?
There it is. That was good. Yeah. Okay. So Ted's a chameleon, as you will learn to find out in this episode.
There we go.
Yeah. So, I'm doing great too. It's like anytime you're by the ocean, right? Yeah. They say that salt water is like the most healing thing.
And drive out here.
I know. And as our, we'll just maybe get straight into the taste so that we can spend more time with Ted and the other things going on. And so we're here at Gurney's, and they have made an incredible cocktail for us, the couple of choices. And I was like, I want to take a sip, so I want to like explain it.
Yeah, so you are drinking the Espresso Tropical with vodka, Borghetti, Bacardi, a coconut, and espresso.
Mm.
And I chose that one too because I'm really not a pineapple lover. And Ted is drinking the Pineapple Crush with Mezcal, Caribbean pineapple. Yep.
He's a pineapple lover.
Oh, no. With all my friends, I think right away, that's just totally Ted. Pineapple.
Totally Ted.
I love it. The best part about pineapples is the well-known symbol of hospitality.
That's right.
Oh. So we have a new name for this cocktail. We're going to call it Totally Ted.
Totally Ted. I love it.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Cheers. And cheers to Gurney's and Montauk. Thank you for having us. It was a beautiful drive, and it's a gorgeous day. We're fully in spring now. It was so warm. Last week when we were doing the pod, and today, and the temperature keeps dropping.
I know, and it's crazy. And we were standing in there before, and you're like, "We didn't bring a jacket." And I wore my white jacket.
Oh, you're being full. Sharon's got this like floor length, super fluffy, extra amazing white coat, like the one that Kelly Clarkson wore on like the New Year's Eve or the Christmas tree lighting. It's so amazing.
She walks in,
and she's like, "I'm at Gurney's."
Yeah.
Here we
are. I've arrived. You're welcome.
Meanwhile, I walk in and I'm wearing my daughter's like North Face zip up borrowed coat.
Yeah, this is all I brought today too. But when I was out on the porch earlier and the sun was shining, and I mean, it was lovely out there. Now, granted, there was a bonfire on the thing too, which really helped, but it was fantastic.
It makes all the difference. Like here in the cottage that we're sitting in, which is gorgeous, by the way. We've been to Gurney's many times.
Yeah.
And I've never seen these cottages right on the water. And it's two bedrooms and, you know, the fireplace is
going.
It's
a living room style.
Yeah.
I love
the team's like, if we can turn the fireplace on, it's really just for ambiance. I'm like, you better not, you know, just leave that on. It's like amazing.
Exactly.
First of all, it's dropping out there.
Ugh.
And, but that's okay. Listen, because as long as we're inside.
I know.
And we're by the water.
We're down by the water and the seascape. I love it.
Speaking of the water. What were you saying?
Well, I was going to say, speaking of the water, the seawater spa
that we visited
last year was incredible. It's the only saltwater fed pool in America, right? America?
Yeah.
Wow.
It's awesome.
So straight out of the ocean, right into the pool here?
Yes.
Very cool.
It's amazing. That spa is awesome. We've had some of the best treatments ever in there. I know, you want to live there. And then they were talking about all of the people here in Montauk that have club memberships. You like, I mean, all the residents here, you've got like every major person, like Ralph Lauren lives down the street. Mm-hmm. Like all the, I mean, every time the guy that started the Rolling Stones, what's his name? Jan something. Anyway, they all live here.
Yeah.
This is our year. It's the kind of celebrities that when they eat every night here at Scarpetta, which is the restaurant, you don't know that they're celebrities. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The kind of celebrities that are rich and famous enough that you don't even know who they are. They walk in and they can still be incognito.
Yeah, no, not used to that at all.
No. Okay, so I was going to say, speaking of water, when I was going to say, as Ted came to us today, all the way from the Cape.
Oh, man. That was a journey. I'm so glad you recommended the drive. I had a first today. I have never driven a car on a ferry boat.
Wow.
And I did it.
And living in the Cape.
I did it three times today. So I've taken ferries to the islands, but I've never driven a car on it. Right, so I was like a little kid. I was like actually trying to film myself. And of course, the guy's like, let's put your camera down. Stop that.
Yeah. Welcome to New York.
It was awesome. That was a fun drive.
Yeah, so cool. So Ted and I were going over his itinerary because he lives in the Cape. And I was like, oh, well, you could take the ferry to Orient. And then if you're feeling really adventurous, you could drive through and you'll go through like Greenport and you'll see a couple
beautiful North
It's so
Fork.
Cute.
Yeah.
And then you could take it's like a little 10-minute car ferry. Isn't that fun too? And you sit in your car.
Oh,
you don't
great.
Even get out.
It was really fun. I like the other one too, where you just went across just like about 100-yard stretch.
So. Yeah. Yeah. You just like fun. This little car ferry and you go to Shelter Island and then you drive through Shelter Island, which again, we keep saying we're here during spring, which is beautiful, but during summer, completely different vibe. Shelter Island too. Totally. The whole thing is like, it's literally magic. It's like, I said, it's like Dirty Dancing, Shelter Island.
Shelter Island, for sure.
It's literally like that.
Yeah.
And then you take another car ferry, and then you drove through the Hamptons.
I went through the Hamptons. You know what I was really surprised with? Because on the Cape right now, everything's closed until April 1. I mean, it is. I was going to bring you guys sweatshirts, but they were all closed. So I couldn't buy you guys Kit Kat sweatshirts. I thought that would have been kind of fun. Yeah. But here, when I was driving through, I saw that all the shops and stuff were mainly open.
Yeah.
It was great.
Yeah. Year-round destination.
Yeah.
Yeah. We were just talking about that recently that, you know, when I was down here talking to the local legislator that represents East Hampton, and she was like, you know, we want people to come now.
Right.
And it's different. It used to be that way here that things were closed. Right. And now I think, you know, thanks to Discover Long Island, maybe, I don't know.
Tout ourselves in the back, you know, maybe.
And people have gotten really wise to the fact that you can. In fact, Newsday, the newspaper, just called today and they were like, hey, we want to do an article about April, May, and going to all the places that you can't get to once it's summer.
Right.
And so especially for locals. And I think locals have gotten really wise to the fact that, you know, like Ashley pre-season. Was telling us, she's like, you've got until 5 in this cottage. And then, you know, respectfully get out.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because we have people coming in. You know what I mean?
But so, even I do that as like with my family. That's when I come to Montauk. It's like the beginning of June before it's preseason. And you get the best rates.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
It's smart.
Well, it'll be interesting. I don't want to spoil some of the stats I have for you guys later that I'm going to quiz you on.
Uh-oh.
But I looked at the first part of 2024 for Long Island for the past 3 months. And you guys do really, really well with outdoor recreation. And you're still a ton of people up here. It's not doing well as much with retail and restaurants because they're not haven't popped open yet.
Right.
And I can't wait to see that spike of watching the spend on the island after that.
Ooh, yeah. Okay. So if you're wondering why Ted's talking about data and statistics, let's talk about who you are. Because people are like, who the heck is Ted? So
Ted,
here's a little story. I'll tell you how I know Ted. I have known Ted for about 20 years. Ted has known me for about 10 years. So Ted is kind of like an icon in the industry.
Sure.
When I first knew of Ted, I think you were with MMGY, which is like the number one agency, travel agency.
Biggest advertising agency specialized in travel on the planet.
Yes. Right. And so I would go, like, I was like fresh in my career, kind of rising in the ranks, and I would go, and then there's Ted. Ted Sullivan, he's on stage.
Giving TED Talks?
Oh, pretty much.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, literally.
How it
literally. And he's like the man, right? And so I've seen him over the years in the conference, and, you know, everybody knows Ted. But like a minion like me at the time, I didn't, you know, he didn't know me. Why would he? And so then one day, I'll never forget, we had gone to ITB.
Mm-hmm.
I had gone to ITB, and it's the largest travel trade show in the world. It takes place in Berlin. And after the show, I was going to go meet a friend of mine in Amsterdam.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, oh, I'll just take the train and I'll go to Amsterdam. And I was on the train by myself and I decided to go to like the concession cart to get something. And that was hilarious, by the way. You're walking through the train. Yeah. One train is like the quiet train, the silent train. And then I go through like a full like soccer train. I was like, it was like a soccer club, and they were just, I had to walk through the people. That
I
was,
remember that particular car. Yeah, it was a bunch of guys on the soccer team going to Amsterdam. So
it was crazy. It was literally like it sounds. I was being like batted all over that cart. And then I got through it, and then I go to the next train, and I lock eyes. I see Ted Sullivan. He's on the train going to Amsterdam. And I was like, oh my God, it's Ted Sullivan. And he doesn't know me. So I just looked away and kept walking.
So, and, which is so weird, if you know Kristen, that Kristen would be like, hey, I know you. Yeah, you're both going to Amsterdam. Let's have a drink. It's 10 in the morning, but who cares? Right. She didn't do it.
No.
Yeah.
I didn't. Well, because it was kind of a big deal.
Yeah.
And why? And like, I don't want to be like, first of all, we're on vacation. And he's on vacation now. Mm-hmm. The show's done. And I wasn't going to bother somebody. He's like a celebrity. You don't bother them.
Right.
When you see them in the wild.
In the wild.
And so I just didn't say anything and went on with my life. And Ted went on with his life. And then 6 months or so, whatever, later, we bump into each other at a conference. And
we were sat next to each other at dinner in Nashville.
Oh, is that what it was?
He remembers.
Yeah.
Because you started telling me, I'm running into you on a train. And I'm like, why didn't you say something to me?
Right.
And then we sat next to each other and had a great time at dinner and just started blah, 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 blah. Yeah. And we've been friends ever since.
Yeah. Aww. Yeah. So we were, then I was at Discover Long Island. So I get to go to like the VIP dinners. And that's where I got to finally meet Ted and tell him that I've known him for 20 years, but he just met me. So then, Ted, then you went to Adara.
Correct.
And Adara is a company that we've worked with in the past, and it's really cool. It's like a marketing company where you can, because at Discover Long Island, we like to track everything we do. We don't just do advertising and marketing. We want to know, is it making an impact? Are people seeing our ads and then making choices? Are they taking action? Are they resonating as our messages resonating? And so Adara does that. You can pixel it, and then they'll follow the person around, and they'll say, they can tell if you, once you viewed the ad, they'll follow your search history online and say, did you search for flights?
Did you book a flight?
And how much did you spend? And did you search for a hotel room? And did you book a hotel room? And how much did you spend? And we started to learn from that data, like, for example, that, you know, we get a lot of visitors. Most of our visitors come from New York City, but the ones that spend the most came from Boston.
Right.
And so, like, this year, finally, you know, we're going into Boston for the first time. Yeah. And so we learned all this great data. And then, so we loved using, working with Adara. And that's when Ted and I really became really good friends and work colleagues. And then you went to a new startup company called Zartico. Do you want to tell who Zartico is?
Yeah. So Zartico, we've been around just a little over 4 years. And I was telling Sharon this earlier. In the tourism space, we were like, we're vulnerable. Mm-hmm. They're like, the data that we have, like, we just sort of like having a seat at the table. I'm like, why don't we take more data and actually lead the discussion and lead the table? The data is out there and available. And about five of us that were all working together at the time, we're like, instead of waiting for another company to build this, why don't we do it?
Yeah.
So we decided to build a company that creates an operating system for destinations that takes all the data you have, your tax data, your hotel data, your marketing data, your social media data, put it together, and then add geolocation data, where people travel, spending data, the credit card spend, and then event data like Ticketmaster, StubHub, like what brought them to the area. Combine that so you can see that whole spectrum of what went on the island.
Yeah.
All right. And so that's what we did, and we did that. And now we're close to 100 employees and working in 300 different destinations within 4 years.
I can't believe that. I think that's so incredible.
Three, four-year
time, and to just grow that way is incredible.
Thank
Congratulations.
Well, we're all, honestly, we poached a lot of people from the tourism industry.
Well, you have to, right?
Yeah, we did, because we really, all of us really wanted to tell a better story than what we were telling. Instead of waiting 6 months on a survey report or something like that, we're like, no, the data is available now. Let's talk about who's in Long Island now, where they're not coming from, where they are coming from. Did a pickleball tournament that came in town work really well for us? Or did that concert that we had up at the end of the island work better for us? Those kind of things. So that data is now available to allow people like you to tell better stories about what actually goes on Long Island.
And you know what I love about it too, Sharon, is I remember when it started, and it was like this whole, a couple of different companies started around the same time, and Ted and his friend Darren and a couple of the guys from, you know, like that were in the data space started this company, and they were like, okay, but they were kind of like the guys, you know, these are all the guys. And they did the smartest thing, because it is National Women's Month, as you know. Mm-hmm. They did, what I'll say is probably the smartest thing they did for Zartico, is they found and hired a female CEO.
Yes.
It was by far the smartest thing we've done.
Sarah.
We had 4 employees, and we knew we needed a CEO.
Yeah.
We're really good waiters. We should not run the restaurant.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. So we hired a very smart woman to lead the restaurant, and now we're about, I think we're 50% women Yeah. And most of our leadership group is all women, and we just know that's the smartest way to go.
And the other cool thing is Sarah. Tell me about Sarah. Sarah's in her last name because she's not from the tourism industry. That's also a smart move.
Sarah Lehman. She was a CEO. Her husband and her kind of invest in other companies. She was the CEO of a bike company, mountain bike company called Envy, and they live in Salt Lake City. And we actually approached them for a first round of funding. And she'd been retired. She was like, I'm kind of done. I mean,
can you imagine? She's like our age. She's retired because she's made so many good business decisions, by the way. That's what a smart businesswoman. She's like, nah, I don't need retirement.
Well, the kids were younger and in high school and stuff that we all do. We're like, you know what? This is a lot. I want to take some time. So then we approached them about just a first round of funding. We're talking, you know, very minimal, a few hundred grand kind of thing.
Right,
like,
hey,
we don't have any money. And Paul, her husband's like, you know what? I think you guys got a really good idea. And I think you need a leader. And I actually think my wife would be a perfect leader for you guys.
Wow.
And we're like, yeah, we talked to her. We're like, she's going to be awesome. That's so right awesome. Now, I mean, she just texted me just a little bit ago. She is in D.C. on the Capitol Hill, you know, actually lobbying for more funding for tourism right now.
Wow. Oh, that's awesome. And since she's become the CEO, you've gotten more investments.
Oh, yeah. So we had a first round of funding. So we added $20 million added to our company just last September.
$20 million.
So yeah, to help grow. I mean,
so I think that's
data's expensive. It was. Yes, I would not have been able to go get that money. I'd be trying to talk my way into it or something.
Dad's like, how about $75?
Yeah, that's enough.
Yeah, I got heart attack, please.
So that's kind of how we are, and that's what we've been, and we kind of learn along the way. I mean, data's a volatile thing. I mean, it's a new thing. I mean, everyone's I always say this, like some of the old guard, I feel like they try to find fault in us if there's a reward for it. Like, oh, that data stream didn't work, and like we get it, but it's still much better than we've had in the past. So let's keep working, keep fixing it.
Keep going towards
it. Yeah, so that's what we've been doing.
I think that's what, you know, when people understand data and they use it to the right means and then they can speak upon it, it's really incredible. Oh. Like, it's so mind-blowing.
Yeah.
It is. That you also need an interpreter. So we have 9 PhDs on staff that do all the data, and they'll be talking. And then I'll be like, all right, Sesame Street this for me, please.
Like, seriously, I need dumb
Sesame
it down.
Street.
Yeah.
I want some Schoolhouse Rock.
I was going to say, I'm just a bill.
It is a lot. So that's what I am. I sort of in the interpreter, and my team takes that and then tries to interpret it, and like, here's what it is. Okay. So I actually have some fun things like that later that we'll share that is really simple algorithms that I'm just going to tell you some very basic things about what's going on in Long Island from the data.
Oh, that's cool. And I just love it. So we're data nerds, right?
Like,
and
it's just so mind-blowing to me.
Because people don't realize, they think, oh, what does Discover Long Island do? You know, we want, you know, tell us, we want to be a all-year-round destination. So you should just do some ads. Okay, well, we don't just do that, okay? Right. We have a strategy. We know exactly what markets have the highest propensity to visit here based on the data that we have, who's going to spend the most, and the people that spend the most stay the longest, and they have the least amount of impact on our local residents. And that's what we want, right? We don't want a bunch of visitors coming in and ruining the quality of life of Long Islanders. I mean, tourism is for the residents.
Right.
So that's what our data allows us to do. Is make really smart strategic decisions that provide the most benefit for our residents and our businesses and our hotels and restaurants and small businesses with the least amount of impact. And I love it. So we are Zardico fans. We utilize Zardico. Mm-hmm. We actually have a position now, a data analytics position on staff.
Yeah.
For
that's
Zardico.
Awesome to hear.
Yeah.
He'll
be at Zardicon.
He'll be at Zardicon?
Yeah.
Send him down there. Well, that's like the new position. Remember like 22 years ago when it was the social media expert? Like, I don't know what the hell Twitter is. I need somebody here to do that.
Right.
That is now what the data analytic position is. And you can see more and more of those in the destination space.
Yeah. Because it's important. It really shows a picture.
Yeah. So, okay. So a little bit of Long Island life. Okay. So other than you were surprised that things were open, what other takeaways are there any surprises? Is Long Island, is this your first time on Long Island?
It is not. It is my,
I
was here 14.
Story.
Okay.
This you is have actually to tell kind it. Of,
so 14, I was here, I was 14 years old and I met a girl when I was in Key West on vacation. Our families became kind of friends and she was like, hey, you should come visit me in New York. And her father is in 88th Street above the Guggenheim, and that's where he is, and he also has a house in Long Island. Not the Kansas City background that I got brought up with.
Exactly.
So I stayed there for a day there, and then we came out to Long Island, and we were hanging. I'm like, this is great. We're like, oh, we're going to Greg's house for dinner. I'm like, cool, we're at Greg's house, and I'm like, that's Gregory Hines right there. I'm like, this is a little different. So I was actually telling Sharon this earlier. When my drive here, I'm like, what's different between Cape Cod and Long Island? It's very similar to the difference between like Boston and New York.
Yeah.
It is, Cape's a little bit more beachy, a little bit more just... I don't know, ice cream things, a little like just...
Yeah, baseball tournaments.
Baseball tournaments. I felt a little bit more regal, a little bit more like the grounds were a little bit more kept, a little bit more columns in front of the house as opposed to like a post. And it felt a lot more year-round. I had to stop for a number of schools and things. Yeah. So just felt that way, a little bit more posh, you know? And then the Cape, it's like where you go, it's like, a little bit more laid back, which I prefer.
You were also telling me some things on the walk down to this cottage that... Cape Cod, where you live, they literally just grew in population.
Oh, I mean, they're like us. My wife and I lived in London before we lived here. And then we moved to the Cape because, you know, we just wanted to, when we had to move back to the States, I'm like, well, I don't want to move back to Kansas City. I love Kansas City, but I'd rather live somewhere that people want to come visit. So we lived there. In our neighborhood, it was 10% year-rounders. Now it's 50%. Wow. And last year we went trick-or-treating and some of the people that lived there were like, what is this? We've never had trick-or-treaters before.
Yeah.
So we're starting to see that kind of change that you're seeing there too. So we have the same issues there. How are we going to get more people to live here year-round and work year-round? Right. How are we going to do that stuff? And then there's that whole, oh my God, is this too many people? Too many tourists. It's not too many tourists. These are more year-rounders that are just looking for a parking spot. Right. So we're running into some of those same issues.
Yeah.
Growing pains.
Yep.
Right? Yeah. Growing pains. But as long as you do it in a way that, again, protects the residents and allows for the businesses to grow and thrive year-round, I think people eventually will see the value.
They will. And the other thing is we find a lot of this, and you guys are going to notice this. Some people complain, like, I can't find a parking spot. It's all these tourists. Actually, we looked at the data, and it's all residents, you know, and they're doing again. Yeah. You'll find that kind of stuff. So, like, oh, that means a lot. Maybe we build a parking deck over here and provide free shuttles because of people just using the hospital and then going downtown. So, those are the ways you can use data. So the locals are like, okay, now I get it. Thank you. That helps me tell the story. I understand what you guys are doing.
Yeah, because they'll be like, there's too many tourists, and then the second they're like light on dinner, they'll be like, there's not enough tourists. What are you doing for us?
Right.
And I'm like, which is it?
Oh man.
Yeah. But that's the world we live in and we love it. So yeah, you know, do you know the story that when you get to the Hamptons, by the way, the higher the hedges is, the bigger the celebrity, the bigger
the richer they are.
Okay, yes. I was wondering if there was an exponential thing there. Yeah. I did notice that.
Yes.
And a lot of groves, are those like, I mean, I know they weren't wineries. Were those just orchards and stuff along the way?
Yeah, farms. Like Harps Farms. Yeah. There are a couple of wineries down here. Yeah. In fact, Wolfer Winery is probably one of the most famous on Long Island. It has the famous Summer in a Bottle rosé. We've got to get you a bottle if you've never had it before. It's awesome.
Look, I hear that this place is completely different, the Gurney's, in the summer than it is right now.
Oh, yeah. Everything is. I mean, it's just a different vibe, you know? But I do love, like, I love when we were walking down today and all the fire pits are up.
Oh, it was awesome.
You know what I mean?
There's people sitting around it. It's not dead
yet. It is warm.
Right? You know?
If you sit by the fire, it's warm.
There's customers, there's visitors here. Yeah. Sitting by the fire.
There's a different vibe for every season. I mean, even if you come here, you know what I love is I love coming to places like, especially even Montauk, in the winter. Because you went to the lighthouse for the first time. Mm-hmm. It's beautiful.
Awesome.
And the cool thing, when I first moved here, it was November. And so when my daughters moved here, we were really kind of settled by like January and we started driving around. And again, back then, 9 years ago, things were closed. Mm-hmm. We drove all the way to the lighthouse and I still have the pictures. And, you know, for us, we came from Arizona. It was like wildly different. And we were freezing, but it was also like this really cool, like, it's like this, the sea is angry and it's hitting
it's
the
majestic.
Rocks. And
it's like,
yeah, it's like, it feels mysterious and cool and exciting.
I love that. I didn't know how many surf shops you guys had here.
Oh, yeah.
I thought that was really cool. They have really good swag at surf shops.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I've already spent some money at your surf shops.
So nice.
So we'll probably track myself and my
career. Yeah, and your data.
But it was,
your spending.
It was awesome. I just didn't anticipate that. I was like, these are really cool surf shops. I wish I could surf right now.
Oh, yeah. Ditch Plains is famous. And the other thing, interesting, and we'll tell you, we're going to go to dinner tonight. I'll tell you a bunch of stories about Montauk and the Hamptons and Long Island. You also drove by a place called Camp Hero, which is very mysterious, and it's actually the original premise for Stranger Things, because there's a lot of questions as to what takes place
really
at Camp Hero.
Down there.
You can read books about it, but it's right here. This is where time travel and aliens happened, right here at the end, of course.
Upside down started.
Yeah,
here.
Yes. Exactly. Here we go. Yes. There you go. Makes sense now that you've been there, right?
I think you got a new campaign going.
Anyway, this is really fun, and it's been a crazy weekend. I was thinking about Summer in a Bottle, and it reminded me of yesterday.
Oh, how fun was that?
Okay, so get this. Our neighbors, we're in Hoppoggin. We have these two buildings that are kind of mirror each other. And our neighbors across the street is a local ad agency that we do a lot of stuff with, Cameron Advertising. And they're just a great group of people. And they were like, come see our office. Come hang out with us. And just they have ping pong and And so we go over there and they had like Summer in a Bottle for us.
Yeah, they knew.
So they like listened to our pod, of course. And their team was awesome. It was so fun.
It was so fun. And it was like, unexpected. Yeah. You know, like I knew we were going to have a good time, obviously, because they're a great group. But like literally our teams just meshed so well. They always do. But like whipping out ping pong tournaments, yeah. like who's going to win? And like it was so funny.
Yeah. And their offices are wild. I mean, the building.
Let's talk about one of their employees.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
So here's one thing that I don't love horror, right? I'm not one of those people that watch horror films or things like that. I walked into, like, I slept over at my friend's house when I was a little girl, like 8 or 9 years old, and like her father was watching Night of the Living Dead. And I was like, oh my God, freaked out. Now that's like my biggest nightmare my whole life. Like I saw the horrible thing. Their employee is an actor from The Night of the Living Dead.
Part two.
I think it's important. Was he one of the living or one of the dead?
He was one of the dead. He was a zombie.
But there was like literally...
And he's showing me footage, me and Michael, Ian, Sharon. He's like, he's pulling up the footage. He's like, this is me. This is me. I'm eating the skull of this guy. I'm like, I don't know. No. I don't even see that. So his office was really... He had little...
like. And figurines. Pristine, like not a speck of dust.
So that's the first thing I said when I got in there, because he's got like a zillion figurines on his
all
on
the
his
horror
black
figures
thing. And I'm like,
and things
look
like
at
that.
You, you're a dusting fiend. Like there's no dust. I'm impressed.
It was crazy.
But the coolest one I liked is the guy, the first office we went to, and Michael and I were dying because he had a life-size Iron Man.
Yeah,
and he had
everywhere.
My favorite was he had a life-size like Terminator with just the metal skeleton with the guns.
That's really
it was
cool.
Pretty
yeah
sick.
I took a picture like, of it. I'll show you. Like it was so
that's
cool.
Actually in the agency.
Yes.
Okay, in the creative department, I'm sure.
Yeah,
right?
I'm sure. Yeah, yeah. Because then you go department. Into the CEO and the COO's office, and it's very like.
I mean, it's taller. It was taller than me, and I was like, with you know, I always say AI is basically Skynet from Terminator.
Oh, it is.
Mm-hmm. I'm like, this is it. This, mm-hmm. Oh, look, Michael's showing it. Like it's huge with the guns and
it's
everything.
It's crazy.
I'm like, I seriously want that. Can you imagine my beautiful, imagine like, Hampton-style office, and then I've got, like, a Terminator, like, in the corner?
Oh, actually, my gosh.
It's really cool.
And what's another thing about their agency is they have three brothers that work for them.
That's
like,
so
it's a little
cute.
Family,
yeah, it's
family
really
love. I love
it's
it.
It's really cute. So I loved that. That was really fun. And I like our teams getting together. And sometimes it's just nice to just go over there. We went over there, like, at the end of the day and just had a little fun.
Yeah.
You know? And that our industry is still based on relationships.
Oh, very much so.
Yeah.
Which I think is funny. I mean, look at our company. I mean, yeah. 100 people, probably knew 75% of them before they started working.
Right,
there,
exactly. Know?
Yeah, absolutely.
And his follow-up was today was awesome. He was like, here's some examples.
Because I mentioned, I was like, oh, do you do this kind of video? They're like, sure do. I'm like, I want one of those. And immediately they're like, hello, here's this, here's examples. I'm like, I love it. Because it's great to have a good relationship, but then you got to do the work.
Right.
You got to. You also have to present the results.
Exactly. That's
you know what I'm saying?
The results need to be there too. So.
Exactly. So that was good. And I had the weekend in the city.
How was it?
Oh my God, it was so fun. We saw our besties, Patrick and Ed.
Oh.
I went and saw Spamalot.
Oh, did you love it?
I did.
Because it's closing, right? It's closing soon.
Yeah, it's done. I think April 7th, it's done. It was great. I just wanted, they were going to go see Sweeney Todd. And I was like, it's what, Sweeney Todd's a story about, like, someone that, like, butchers people. And I'm like, you know, I just kind of want to laugh and have
a
good time.
A lighthearted
comedy. I'm
going
to go ahead and go over here. I'm going to go to Spamalot where we, like, have a little dance party.
That's awesome.
We're, like, whistling, always look on the bright side of life. You know, I'm this is the message I was going for while I was in the city. But literally ate and drank so much, gained 4 pounds.
No.
Not even
stop
lying.
It.
Not even
you
lying. Because you know we get on the scale after, right? Everybody? Like, I'm on that scale. I'm like, what is happening? But worth
incredible
it.
Food, incredible
worth it.
Drink.
Love it.
It's amazing.
Love. We got upgraded at our hotel.
How'd you do
randomly,
that?
Randomly, I don't know, to the Ambassador Suite.
Ooh.
On the top floor. And it's kind of more of a boutique-y hotel.
Right. I love those.
I love those. There's like no lobby really, but I love it. And it was like a studio apartment.
Do you stay in a different part of the city every time you go, or do you have like a particular favorite part you go to?
I do different every time.
I do different every time too, because I have a different
experience
every time.
Yeah.
We usually go, when we go with Ed and Patrick, they go to this bar that they always go to. It's a piano bar called the Townhouse. Okay. And so we like to stay close to them and close to that,
right.
Which was fun. But it was so funny. I was doing my impersonation. Do you ever see the show Open House NYC?
No.
Where it's like the real estate house and they take you around the real estate.
Oh, okay, yeah.
My favorite ones are New York City. And so I was literally acting it out. With Thomas when I was there.
In your suite?
It was like a flat, right? So it was like one room, but it was a full kitchen, amazing, beautiful, all skyline views on the 37th floor.
Amazing.
And then over here was the bed and a couple chairs, and everything was electronic. It was amazing. So I'm doing my NYC open house impersonation, and I'm like, this is where I sleep, this is where I cook. And then I'm like, then they'll, because it's New York City life, then they'll sit in like a chair, like right next to the bed and be like, this is where I relax, you know, and I read a book. It's like, meanwhile, your bed's right there.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, but they're like, I relax in this area. And I'm like, so I was kind of like acting it out in my own little New York City.
Yeah, but you can't spend the whole time in bed there. My daughter has a studio in Chicago, and she's like, I purposely make sure that I get out of bed a little bit a day. Otherwise, yeah. I would just sit and work in my bed as opposed to sitting in a chair.
In that chair.
You got to work yourself through the chair, man.
Yeah, exactly.
And by the way, it did make a difference. I sat in the chair, and I was like by the windows. I'm like, I get it. I do like it.
I see this.
So it was, again, I always think about what a privilege it is for us to just live literally a train ride away from New York City and get off. And then I'm trying to go to Spamalot, and we were having brunch with our friends before the show. And it was Saturday, and I'm meeting them at 11:30, and I ran smack into the parade.
Oh,
the New York City St. Patrick's Day parade.
Oh my gosh.
And it was awesome. I'm like watching the NYPD, and everyone's cheering with their bagpipes. But then I'm like, I had to stop a police officer, and I'm like, how do I get over? I need to get on the other side of Fifth Avenue. And they're like, good luck.
Yeah.
No, they were very sweet. And they were like, every fourth street or so, they wait, and then they'll let you cross. So I finally was a little bit late, managed to cross over. But I was like, average New York City day. You just run into the parade.
Yeah.
Iconic.
And that's the first time we ever did the St. Patrick's
Day parade, and it was gorgeous. The day was beautiful. It was beautiful. Did you do anything for St. Patty's Day?
Oh, yeah. I had my family over and made some corned beef. So I did two corned beefs. I did one in the crock pot and one in the oven. And they were both with brown sugar and Guinness. And I have to say the crock pot won.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. I like this. And you know who's Irish?
Yeah.
Well, do you know the story about? Would you know the story about my birthday?
No.
So my father is off the boat Irish, and he would introduce me my whole life, and he'd say, "This is my son, Theodore Daly Patrick Sullivan, born on St. Patrick's Day." And he had the program, and so my entire
life. Were you really born on St. Patrick's Day?
So he would say that, and then my entire life on St. Patrick's Day, March 17th, I'd have green cupcakes. There'd be a parade. They'd dress me up like a leprechaun. I had green outfits. All this stuff. So I get to 16 years old, and here's the thing. I'm adopted. So I'm going in line to get my driver's license on March 17th, and my dad hands me my birth certificate, and I'm like, it's not March 17th. It's March 14th. And he's like, well, it's not like we have some story about your mom being rushed to the hospital now, do we? And I'm like, no. So this happens. So I'm getting my driver's license, and he goes to the lady, he's like, just turn the 4 into a 7. Turn the 4 into a 7. And I'm like, what? And he's like, Ted, just go outside. The guy bribed. I don't know what happened. So again, my birth certificate says March 14th, and my driver's license said March 17th for about 5 years until I got my first passport.
Oh my gosh.
And he would never call me on March 14th except to make fun of me, and he would only call me on March 17th to say happy birthday.
Oh my gosh.
I get two posts on Facebook and everything, the 14th and 17th. So that's my story about how I have two birthdays.
I love that story.
But what a great, your accent is like amazing.
You grow up in a house, you have to learn to quit talking this way because the kids at school think you sound funny.
So did you do anything for St. Patty's Day?
Birthdays? I recovered. I met three of my buddies up in Portsmouth, New Hampshire for a four-day weekend.
It was a fun little town.
It was a fun little town.
Yeah.
My dad's from Portsmouth.
Oh, right on.
Yeah, so I love it.
We had a blast. So on Sunday, I drove home and had corned beef and cabbage, drank 3 Guinness, and I was asleep by 9 o'clock.
Yeah, you were done. Good night.
Getting old.
Wiser, not older.
That's
wiser.
True.
Yeah, that's so true. You're like, talking about going out in the city, and I'm like, nope, I was in my beautiful flat.
By 9 p.m.
When you get a room like that, I was like, I'm just going to hang out in here.
I love doing that, though, honestly.
It was awesome because we had this amazing kitchen with like this island and everything. So when Patrick and I were like, let's go have a drink, I'm like, why don't you just come here?
Yeah.
Like, just get
a bottle and we'll hang out.
We've got the views.
Yeah.
And there's no lines. And I've got a bottle of Veuve. So let's just do it.
Oh, good.
Mm-hmm. It's great. What were we going to say? Oh, okay.
No, awesome.
So
I was going to take a drink of this.
You take a drink. And we're going to talk about, because the next big holiday is Easter.
Yes.
Can you believe that?
No.
It's like super early this year.
So here's the thing.
What the heck?
Dan and I are going to see Zach Bryan at UBS.
On Easter?
The night before.
Okay.
So who's going to Easter Bunny?
Yeah. Oh.
I mean.
Okay. So you know what?
Stress.
So Tegan and her friends do this at school. They do it for charity.
Oh.
And you can hire the kids.
Okay.
And they come and they sprinkle the eggs everywhere.
All right.
Yeah. Just so you know.
I'm not prepared.
Yeah, so Tegan did it last year with her friends as part of, like, I don't know if it's Key Club or one of her clubs. And then she's like, oh, we read the instructions later, and you're like, you're not supposed to put the eggs in the grass.
Oh,
she's like, I don't know, we just put all the eggs in the grass. Like, we didn't read that at all.
You gotta
hide
them.
Because the critters get them. She's like, what are you going to do? And then she came home, and she's like, these parents were there. They were at home. Like, why aren't they doing this?
Well, so it's gets very stressful. So I've, three kids, and the older one is obviously used to every tradition. So we do a whole scavenger hunt. This is also funny. We'll drink a bottle of wine and we'll put the clues together and put them in the eggs. And I'm like, what clue went with egg one? I don't know. So then you screw yourself up. But anyway, we always make it happen.
Well, you set the expectations pretty high.
I know.
I grabbed 12 of those little plastic eggs, put a Reese's in each one and throw them out in the yard.
Well, you're generous. I just put some jelly beans.
The scavenger hunt is to find their basket. We play this game,
That's intense.
Yeah, it's very intense. And now my oldest one is like, what do you do for him? He's past the Easter Bunny style, He's like, so I think I'm going to hire him.
Oh, that's smart. Yeah. Good idea. Yeah, get him something extra. But my kids, no matter how old they are, call it whatever, they still are like, did you get me a bunny?
And that's where's the funniest thing, is we had a coworker who used to say, Sharon, when your kid, if you start something, you need to
be careful.
Stay strong.
Yeah, be careful. That is a lot of high expectations. That's like the elf on the shelf and stuff. Think about that was like, that's the parents' pressure these days is wild in all these holidays. Crazy. Remember, even the Tooth Fairy.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Well, you know what? If you just all of a sudden go backwards a bit, it's fine. We went to London this year for Christmas, and my wife and I got each other just each a pair of shoes. That's it. And then my daughter, we just got her four things, and she didn't even have a Christmas tree. We did lights on top of a lamp.
Oh.
And I think that's our standard now. That was fantastic.
And she's young, right?
She didn't care. She didn't know. Yeah. So we're like, we set the bar low. This is fantastic.
That's Christmas now.
Merry Christmas, sweetheart.
Well, now you have to go to London, though.
Speaking of, we've got to put some kind of holiday alert on this so people don't listen with their kids.
Yeah.
And we're ruining everyone's lives,
right?
By the way, we're ruining the magic of people's childhoods. So PG. Don't listen. Yeah, that's me. It's me. Okay. So speaking of things going on around Long Island for Easter, there's stuff on the 30th and the 31st because Easter's on the 31st this year. Oh, so first is on the 30th. We'll list a bunch of stuff. Adventureland, by the way, announcing new rides.
Did you see that? That they look awesome.
You should see Adventureland is awesome, Ted. It's like a mini. It's a full theme park, but you wouldn't think it driving by. It goes super deep. And it's awesome. It's like this family owned. They've owned it for 60 years. And the rides are intense. I mean, it's great. You go there and you
it's
get like
a good amusement park. And if it's like, if you know, it's like as a Long Islander, I think every single person who grew up around that area either had their birthday party there or worked there.
Kind of old school too.
Yeah.
It's a staple. And then here at the Montauk Chamber has their 8th annual extravaganza egg hunt. Just come here. Just come here the day before and be like, no, yesterday was Easter. Do a Ted's dad thing.
Right?
Ashley, it happens.
Hook me up.
Yeah.
The shops at Eastwind, Easter Celebration, and Greater Port Jefferson Chamber of Commerce does their 2024 Port Jefferson Easter Parade and Egg Hunt.
And also Water Drinker Family Farm has a golden egg hunt in Manorville, which is so... Water Drinker is a great farm. They have tulip festivals coming up in April.
They're so great with their seasonal activities.
Dog friendly. Love it.
And then on March 31st, right here in Gurney's Montauk, is a beautiful Easter brunch.
Yes. By the way, this is goals when your kids are grown.
Yeah.
You come to Gurney's.
Yeah.
I mean, you can come with your family too.
Yeah, because it's very family friendly.
But it's also just be bougie. And this is my goal.
It's bougie.
I want to be at Gurney's for Easter brunch. It's going to be good. And one of our favorite new hotels, Northport Hotel.
Yeah, that's amazing. Besito does at all of their location Easter brunch. I think that's incredible.
These are all just Easter brunches, right? At Fox Hollow, Bayberry, Eastwind, the Meadow Club in Port Jefferson.
Waterview at Port Jefferson Country Club, Southampton Inn. And then we have the Baiting Hollow Farm Vineyard in Baiting Hollow and Ohika Castle, the beautiful Ohika Castle in Huntington.
Yes, another bougie option and
brunch spot.
Brunch spot. And a lot of the reasons people come to Long Island is because all the amazing events that we have, right, Ted?
That's right. Would you guys like me to share with you some stats that I pulled from last year? I'm going to quiz you a little bit on this.
Okay. All right?
I want to see, because you guys did very, very well with your campaigns, and I'm going to let you know some of the things. Okay, so taking a look at all the data. So we did not, I think this is great. There wasn't a massive increase from New York City, because it kind of stayed the same, which is fine.
Right.
You had a 28% increase with two other markets. Do you know what they were?
I'm going to say Philly
and Boston.
Philly and D.C.
I was going to say D.C. Yeah, because we haven't really gone into Boston yet. We're going. Okay. We're going this summer.
Philly and D.C. did really, really well.
Yes, wow. We've done. That's awesome because we've done a lot of increases there in marketing. So it's paying off.
I love it.
Do you know what destination spends the most money on restaurants when we look at them all around the country?
Of the whole country?
Yeah, just when we look at any other of our clients and we look and see who spent the most money on restaurants from a major city. D.C.
Oh, wow.
So D.C. Yeah. No, New York City, they do well, but maybe there's more families. Maybe there's just, I don't know, right, but the average check average and what they spend by ratio when they go somewhere is more on restaurants.
Wow.
Anywhere else. So just good to know there.
That is interesting.
So out of your top emerging markets in 2023, your top emerging ones, which ones do you think grew the most this year?
Retail.
No, like Atlanta.
Atlanta. Oh. Yes. Atlanta was number one.
Is that the espresso martini?
Yeah, it is. Yeah. I thought he was saying spend.
Atlanta was number one, Chicago, San Francisco, and LA.
Why Atlanta?
Atlanta's just been growing a lot. I've been watching our data and I don't know why. Because we're not in that market, but we look at emerging markets to see the highest propensity but when we go into them, we look at also the cost to do media and how vast it is. Atlanta is probably our next one. And LA is huge, but we can't afford to penetrate that market. It's crazy.
But the fact that you're getting that much from there, which is great. Now, this next step will probably give you a little tip as to why. The other thing is, you were right. You know what they spend the most money on those emerging markets? Retail. Mm-hmm. So that's whatever what kind of marketing that your retail is huge with your emerging markets. All right. Out of those, out of LA, do you know what age group comes from LA the most?
Ooh. 18 to 24.
No. The older ones.
Really?
Yes. So some of the retirees going to LA are coming back. So you're doing really, really well with them there. So you know which ones are your youngest group out of your credit card? And this is out of your credit card data.
Okay.
So when we look at your spending data, these are the ones that come and spend the most money. Which ones out of
from which market?
Emerging markets, yeah.
What were the emerging markets again? Atlanta,
Chicago, San Francisco, and LA.
San Francisco.
No.
Ooh.
No.
Chicago
and LA
are
very young. So what you're spending in there, which is great, especially if you want them to keep coming back and back and hook them when they're young like that. So thought that was great. So out of those up to 20, let's see, out of the percentage, you know what your out-of-state percentage was this year? You guys actually increased the amount of out-of-staters coming to Long Island.
Yeah, it's interesting because we have so many New Yorkers that come to Long Island. And so we've been really working on those out-of-state visitors. So what was it like? Was it 40? Oh, is that ambitious?
It's even higher. You guys are close to 60%.
Oh, my God.
So you had huge bump.
We are doing a good job.
So,
that's awesome.
So Albany and New York didn't decrease. They kind of, which is great.
Steady.
Mm-hmm. Right. So they came more people came from out of state.
It's amazing.
Now, here's the thing. You have more people from out of state. They decreased a little bit on their average spend.
Okay.
But that's fine, though. You had more people. It's their first time here. They don't really know what to spend on. The more they come back, the more they're going to know where to stay. They're probably not going to stay in Midtown. They'll come out to the Gurneys and spend more money, that kind of thing. So all in all, looking really, really good with emerging markets, what they're spending, how they're doing, and your growth outside of the state. So
amazing.
Just good stuff.
That is such good stuff.
This is why we love TED. This is why we love Zartico. This is why we love data, because it teaches us and it helps us to make smart decisions. And, you know, we really listen to it when we're figuring out how to reach these customers and travelers and what we need to do to, like you said, hook them and get them to come back. And you know what we do? Stay. Yeah. You know what we do? We do giveaways.
We do giveaways.
On the podcast.
Oh, my goodness.
With the help from our amazing friends at Gurney's.
The best part is we're doing three separate giveaways here at Gurney's.
Three giveaways. Thanks to Gurney's, by the way.
Amazing.
They love our hot teas. This is what we call our fan base, the hot teas, by the way, Ted.
I guess I need to be part of the
hot teas now.
You're a hot tea.
Yay.
Okay. So Sharon, you want to tell people what they're going to have? And you have to follow our social and you should put your notifications on, all the things that Michael always tells us.
So we'll be announcing this obviously on social, but you have to follow us and Gurney's, and Michael put it in the notes to talk about the steps to do that. The first prize is win a one night stay at Gurney's Montauk in an ocean view room, valid midweek only. There's restrictions apply, obviously. This is an approximate value of $1,000.
Yeah. An overnight stay at Gurney's, by the way, is priceless. I can tell you from experience.
Prize two, win a spa day, including a 60-minute massage at the Seawater Spa. One bathhouse session, access to fitness classes that day, and all-day access to their indoor pools.
And that's awesome. And by the way, the spa is just about to approach their 2-year renovation anniversary. They renovated and it is amazing.
$20 million renovation? It was crazy.
And They also just started offering, because they've been renovated now for 2 years, if you don't win for whatever reason, you can get a day pass April 1st through May 23rd. And you can get a day pass for to check out the Spring Renewal Day Spa.
I love it. And then prize three is win a dinner for two at their lovely Scarpetta restaurant, up to a $250 value.
Of which we are enjoying these amazing drinks from Scarpetta's. Michael, remember when we were at Grand Central and we were talking to everybody and we were like, Michael was doing these interviews from the commuters and he asked us why, he was asking everyone like, what's your favorite restaurant? And this one guy was like, Scarpetta's. And we were like, good for you.
Yeah.
If bougie. You can dine enough, that's your favorite.
And that's your favorite.
You're living your best life.
Oh my goodness. That's crazy.
Like, whoa. We were both like, whoa.
What?
He's somebody. So,
how to enter is follow Long Island Tea Podcast at Gurney's Resorts and at Discover Long Island on Instagram to see how you can enter to win.
I love it.
Also, please be aware of spammers. We've had this problem before. Yeah. People like to impersonate us because we are just that cool.
Right.
But I we will be the only ones that will reach out to you at Long Island Tea Podcast.
And we won't ask you for anything. You don't have to spend a dollar or anything. So don't do it. We'll just tell you if you win. And if you don't win, you should still come out here during this, especially this time of year, because the rates are amazing. There's lots of great deals and opportunities for everyone to enjoy Gurney's and Montauk. So this is amazing. And we've had chock full. I don't have a ton of celebrities, but you said you had some celebrity.
I just have one thing that I think you're going to love.
Okay.
And I'm so here for it. Did you hear they're making a remake of Overboard?
Oh my God. Almost okay. choked on the coconut. Right? That is my favorite movie. I mean, I love Overboard.
Oh, I love Overboard.
Oh, yeah. No, that's where Goldie Hawn and Kurt Russell met.
Too, yes, like exactly. That. Yeah.
I don't know. Here's can you, best can you do it, though?
Okay. Here's the best part. Kate Hudson and Matthew McConaughey. I'm sorry.
Oh, my God. I love it.
I am here for that.
Weren't they in something together
yes,
already?
Yes, they were Fool's in How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days. Yeah. Oh, probably in Full. There have been a couple.
Fool's Rush.
I'm showing like my... rear
no.
right now.
No.
That is great. Oh my God.
But Kate
I love
Hudson
that
is Goldie's daughter.
Of course. I love Kate Incredible, Hudson right? and Goldie Hawn. Oh, I'm here for that. And the only thing I was going to ask Ted, because Ted, you know, as he said, he previously lived in London with his family. Mm-hmm. Ted, where's Kate? If you could just let the world know what's going on with Kate Middleton.
I don't know. And I don't.
I've been waiting
and
to talk to you.
I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but even I'm like, I mean, seriously, just do something.
What's
do a little
happening?
Video. Of it. Like, I'm fine. Yeah. I'm here. I just don't feel
so
like.
So they did come out. That she was shopping. Did you see they did?
Yeah, but then, why even just do that?
I mean, it's weird.
Did you see it?
I'm sorry. I don't want to interrupt, but yes, that's like.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
Ashley from Gurney's PR is like, this is what I want to know.
We
this
all
is what
need
America
to know.
Wants. I'm like, Ted, you're the London guy here.
Okay, sorry. But if also we're talking celebrity, so I lived in Hampstead and right up the road from me, Ricky Gervais lived. And every day he would walk down and he and I became kind of buddies, just shooting the breeze.
What? You know?
Call Ricky and find out where Kate is.
Yeah. And I would love to just be like, hey, what's going on? And just hear what his take would be on that. Kind of
well,
stuff.
We can clip this for you and you can, we'll put it up so you're like, Ricky,
help us.
Long Island needs to know.
Get him to like chime in and just see what his thoughts are there.
Yes, Ricky Gervais. I did love Ricky Gervais.
Did you love his series on Apple? That was amazing.
You know that was filmed in our neighborhood.
Oh my
gosh.
Yeah, that's so cool.
Show.
He's a true talent, Ricky Gervais.
Yes.
He was the original Office, if people don't know, was the BBC Office. And I watched that.
He's actually one of the nicest people I've ever met too. He just comes across as just himself. When you see him on stage, that's just exactly how he is.
Yeah, I love that. I want to be friends with Ricky.
I would have loved to have his candid just take on the entire Kate thing.
Well, let's call him. We're going to call Ricky. Hot tease. Here's the deal. The Kate saga continues. Everybody wants to know. We're going to figure this out for you. We're on it. I was listening to Nancy Grace and all of us talking about Kate. Yeah. I love Nancy. She's a New Yorker too, by the way. So we've had a huge chock full show. We're going to... do some wonderful in-room dining here at Gurney's, thanks to the team. And we're going to enjoy these drinks and these saltwater views, ocean views. And we will see you next week. See you next week.
The Long Island Tea Podcast is brought to you by Discover Long Island. For exclusive access to contests and promotions, follow Long Island Tea Podcast on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. And for questions, comments, and collaborative inquiries, email spillthetea@discoverlongisland.com.